Blog Talk Radio.
And oh man,
We are. Press on and on. Hallowed be thy name, O Most High God. Glory be to the Most High God. Hallowed be thy name. King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy to be praised. I ascribe to you dominion, power and grace. Through the years and years to come, you'll always be the same. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. The one I need carried away. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. And you will see Pharisees and backbiters taking up in vanity. But I know you control my destiny, and from you all blessings flow. From yesterday, even today, and tomorrow. It's me again, God, as I follow my knees today. Blessed we, but still, oh God, I seek to walk your way, your holy way. I pray my soul to keep. Though my enemies encamp at me, I know I will stand forevermore under your banner, and for always in your hand. It's me again, God, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. Preserve my soul today. Ah, glory, hallelujah. Bless my soul, oh Jah, oh Most High God. Say glory be to the Most High God, hallowed be thy name. The King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy to be praised. I'll ascribe to you dominion, power and grace. Through the years and years to come, and for our race. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray, for what I need carried away. It's me again, God, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray, preserve my soul today. It's me again, God, as I fall on my knees today.
Well, no, how we? I make plans for tomorrow.
What we are doing?
How we don't even know if we are gonna live fast today.
We don't even know.
Tell you to right now as a man of God.
What we are doing?
Never tell you the real thing.
You are not around. So,
trouble never set like rain at all. The other to the dead by cane at all. Don't keep sinning at your brain at all. If your soul lost in a game at all. Listen up, but the same they call. If you go repenting at the same at all. The wicked are gonna moon and shame my ball. If out of God, book them name at all. Trouble never set like rain at all. The other to the dead by cane at all. Don't keep sinning at your brain at all. If your soul lost in a game at all. Listen up, but the same they call. If you go repenting at the same at all. The wicked are gonna moon and shame my ball. If out of God, book them name at all.
Alright, many woke up this morning. Yeah. Saying they got a lot of fun.
to make some big dough. Yeah, I call it an astral. Want to live that custom life. Like the Isas and the Matalan. Driving the big Prado. The Avalanche making a lot of fun. Putting all the big steps up. People say, oh, what I done? With a hip on the mic and the killer in my time doing so. Not the Renaissance fun. All could be taken away. So swiftly, at a glance. Judgment came through upon the kid. How you could get people up your pants?
Trouble never set like rain at all.
Building a tower and fortress. Sometimes bring more stress. So you got to kick back with the binoculars. Meditate on the stars and the vortex. Giving away a diamond Rolex. There's one thing I know sex. Now if you work too hard in a life again. No, even if I send a couple more text. Wow,
now look at the success.
One time it seemed so hopeless. Got so much investing and more working with your might. Be like a couple of the poor, many poor. But when you couldn't feel more blessed. When it's a growth, they feel tourist. Here's the course of your body, you never did know, sir. I'll include well in the duorex.
Trouble never touch like rain at all. The other to the dead by cane at all. If I keep sinning at your brain at all. If your soul lost in a cane at all. Listen up, when they feel the call. If you go repenting at the same at all. The wicked I go moon and shame my ball. If out of God, book them name the call. Trouble never touch like rain at all. The other to the dead by cane at all. If I keep sinning at your brain at all. If your soul lost in a cane at all.
While your tight is the inking, kick back listening, clinking. Yellow profile and you're inking. Love your massage and you're tinting.
Never set the time to be tinting.
What is too much I'm drinking? What is my big trip thinking? Better find a godly pangol inking.
Trouble never set like rain at all. The other to the dead by cane at all. Don't keep sinning at your brain at all. If your soul lost in a cane at all. Listen up, when they feel the call. If you go repenting at the same at all. You kid I go moon and shame my ball. If out of God book them name the call.
There's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah.
No. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today's reading for me is, of course, one of my all-time favorite readers, and he is one of my day one absolute Bible Truth Ministry brothers. This is the one, the only, Jeff Adair. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Peace, Brother Josh. Thanks for that introduction once again. And also peace to the elders, teachers, and students at APT. And once again, thanks for giving me the privilege to read for today's lesson. And I really appreciate it. I hope everyone's edified tuning in.
Praise God, Brother Jeff. Praise God. And of course, you know, we all appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input you may have. And judging by today's lesson, I'm pretty sure you're going to have plenty to say about this one. But before we get started, let me first apologize to everybody who tried to come on the YouTube live stream for, once again, it not working. I finally figured out what the problem is. If you try to live stream on YouTube, you have to have a separate software through which YouTube can live stream. You can't just live stream on YouTube unless, from my understanding, you just go live just right then and there. Like, you can't schedule it. See, I like to try to schedule stuff just like I do on Clubhouse and Blog Talk Radio. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find a software that I can stream off of so I can take care of that problem. See, I didn't know that. I thought you just schedule it, do it right, and last time y'all heard me last week on there, it was because it just let me go live. So it's all kinds of things that I'm thinking you could just do. So let everybody know, if they try to tune in on the YouTube live stream, that we're over here on Clubhouse. Just simply let them know that, and we're still trying to figure some stuff out. And we're also on Blog Talk Radio. We're also on Blog Talk Radio. So, Keanu, if you'll be so kind to call in on the Blog Talk Radio, so we go ahead and get off into this. But also, first of all, if this is your first time listening to us on Clubhouse, we'd like to say welcome, and we are happy that you have decided to join us today to keep the Sabbath with us. But we have to lay down the ground rules for people who don't know. This is our Sabbath study. What that means for you is, if you have any question or comment, simply hold it until the class is over. Again, if you have any question or comment, simply hold it till the class is over. Once the class is over, simply raise your hand. One of my mods will bring you to the stage where you can ask any question or make any comment you want, provided you are respectful. To those of you in the chat room, try to keep the chatter to a minimum. I say that because if you're spamming up the chat with your comments, then people will not see the sources that my mods post. They won't see the scriptures that my mods post. So try to keep the chatter to a minimum. I'm not saying you can't talk at all, but, you know, don't be spamming up the chat. Also, don't be arguing with each other in the chat. All that cross-talking back and forth is very distracting to people who are trying to hear the lesson. And most importantly, do not try to take shots at me during the lesson or what I'm saying. If you break any one of these rules, one of us will promptly kick you out of the room. No warnings given, no questions asked, you just go. Feel like you were kicked out unfairly, simply DM one of my mods, not me, one of my mods, and explain to them why you think you were kicked out unfairly. But as I always try to tell people, my mods rarely, if ever, make a mistake in this department. So if you get kicked out 99.9% of the time, you deserve it, right? So with that out the way, the title of today's class is, did Jesus condemn the law or the traditions of men? That's right, you heard correctly. Today's class is titled, Jesus Condemn the Law or the Traditions of Men. And I decided to do this particular class because, as many of you know, I did a live stream both on YouTube and on Rumble last night with Brother Gideon. You know, this famous YouTuber, most of you probably already know who he is, and he recently decided to return to Christ and rededicate his life to Christ. And he reached out to me and he asked me to do a live stream on Rumble with him and on YouTube, right? And we started talking about the law, you know, with fellow Christians and the overall attitude about the law. And all of you already know this, you know, from the average Christian, is that it was done away with, it's no longer binding, it cannot affect your salvation, so on and so forth. Y'all all have heard this before. But the major difference on his live stream is, because his brother is a famous YouTuber, there were hundreds upon hundreds of Christians in his room with this view. And see, what was weird is I didn't even want to talk about this stuff. I told him in advance I didn't want to talk about it. He didn't ask me to talk about it, right? All we were doing was giving a movie breakdown on the first Avatar movie. And people were asking questions, not about doctrine, but just advice on how to just stay in their walk with Christ. Nobody was really asking any questions about doctrine. But as usual, because it's me, even people who don't know me, they're not satisfied unless they want to ask me about a specific doctrinal belief so they can turn that into a debate, right? That's what they did. I'm not mad at anybody for doing that. Ain't nothing wrong with doing that. All I'm saying is that's not what I was there for, but that's what happened. So people on that live stream who we invited to the stage just kept pushing the issue about what I believe and, by extension, what Gideon believes, because Gideon decided that he wants to be a part of Absolute Bible Truth. So everybody was like, you know, this is your pastor, this is your leader, you know, we're worried about you. And he's like, well, you know, worried about what? You know, like what? And he wanted specifics, which is understandable. So even though they didn't come right out and say it, their main gripe was that I teach that we're still supposed to be following the law of Moses in Christ. They don't hear that in Christ part for some reason. They just hear law of Moses, go, right? And we have some interesting discussions as well as some heated arguments, right? No love lost at all. I love all them brothers on there. And there was a lot of people in the chat just dropping salt and throwing shade in my direction because, as I said, a large proportion of the chat was conventional Christianity. You know, go to church on Sunday, celebrate Christmas and Easter, think you don't have to keep the law anymore, you know, things of that nature, right? So I decided, as I was talking to these brothers, good brothers, by the way, too, shout out to them. The problem is most Christians, when they read the New Testament, they don't know that there were two main schools of thought that Jesus was dealing with. One of these schools of thought he promoted. One of these schools of thought he condemned. And these two schools of thought in the New Testament are called the Law of Moses, and the other one is called the traditions of men, or the tradition of the elders. That's what it's called. And I noticed that when I was talking to these Christians last night, every time they tried to go somewhere to condemn the law of Moses or abolish it or say it's done away with. They were always drawing from the tradition of the elders or traditions of men. And that let me know they don't know the difference.
Brother Josh, can I say one thing real quick? Because I already know, I know what's going to happen. We're going to get a lot of people coming up here with the book of Galatians and the book of Romans. And if I was you, I wouldn't let one person come up here and talk about nothing about what Paul talking about with the works of the law or the deeds of the law unless they know what 4QMMT is. They don't know what 4QMMT is from the Dead Sea Scrolls. They should not be allowed to come up here and speak.
That and if they can't get around what Christ said. Two things, what you just said and what we're going to show, what Christ said about the law, which is interesting, Trilla, because when it comes to the law, people start with Paul because people seem to think that Christianity began with Paul. No, Christianity, true Christianity, began with Christ. And when you go to the New Testament, you can see Christ's attitude about the law of Moses and Christ's attitude about the tradition of men or the traditions of men. And when you start looking at his attitude about the law of Moses, there is no earthly way you can tell me that he condemned, abolished, voided out, fulfilled to the point that it means you don't have to do it anymore. There's no way you can tell me he did that. Because we're going to go through some verses that I read before, but I didn't touch on certain key points. And last night, in that live stream, you know, with Brother Gideon, it got pretty heated and people got in their feelings. But y'all know me. I did my thing. I shut it down. You know what I mean? I'm not bragging or nothing. Y'all know I do this all the time. And I shut it down and people could see that. But I want to address this misconception. I believe that if a true, truth-seeking Christian can see and understand when Jesus was condemning the traditions of men, they will stop trying to make that the law of Moses because that is not what it is. When I was talking to the brother last night, the verse we read, and we're going to go over some of that again today, he agreed with me all through the text, but he wants to start first, like at a verse all the way down. I said, no, let's start from verse 1. And we started from verse 1. He's on his brother. He said, you know what? All of this and the traditions of men. But when he got to the conclusion, he said, oh, but we just going to say that he was talking about the law of Moses, too. You cannot do that, sister and brother. You cannot take something that Jesus condemned in the traditions of men and then say, oh, that applies to the law of Moses, too. He was talking about that, too. And that's what I was trying to get that brother to see last night. He kept trying to make the traditions of men and the law of Moses overlap when Jesus condemned the traditions of men. So what we're going to do in this lesson is show you that Jesus felt one way about the law of Moses, and another way about the traditions of men. And hopefully, unless you're just stubborn and stuck in your ways as a Christian, you want to keep thinking that the law of Moses is no longer relevant today. But hopefully, you will see that Jesus promoted and kept and told others to keep the law of Moses and condemn the traditions of men in his day that made people break the law of Moses. So the first place we're going to go is Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Y'all are all familiar with this, but I'm going to show y'all. Y'all know how I do. When I go somewhere, I always add some more stuff that people did not think about. And I want y'all to understand that when you get in the room that is filled with conventional Christians and they hear you say something about, oh, you know, you still supposed to be keeping the law, they don't only attack you. They also demonize you. The law has become so hated in modern-day Christianity that just the mere mention of it to a lot of Christians, not all of them, but to the majority of them, the very mention of it, they try to demonize you. Y'all could have read some of the stuff they were saying about me in the chat. I'm like, wow. And Gideon even showed me some stuff that, you know, Christians have gone real far with it, where this one guy, I'm not going to put his name out there, but this one guy is even calling people who keep the law, he called it a demonic spirit of law keeping. That's what he calls it, right? They are demonizing and vilifying anybody, but they don't even understand that they are denying Jesus. So what happens when we show that Jesus was an advocate for the law? What happens if we show you that Jesus said, not Paul. What happens if we show you that Jesus says that if you don't keep the law of Moses, you're going to hell? What happens when we show that? I don't want you to go running to Paul if your Lord and Savior said that. Paul does not supersede Jesus, and Paul does not change the words of Jesus. That's not how this works. Jesus don't say one thing, and then a few years later, Paul comes along and says, okay, that's no longer relevant. That's not how it works. We're going to see the language that Jesus used, as well as everything he said, to show you that Jesus condemned the traditions of men. And ironically, sisters and brothers, that's the majority of what modern-day Christianity is, the traditions of men. Christmas, Sunday worship, Easter, Valentine's Day, all these are traditions of men. Jesus and his apostles observed none of that crap. None of it. So we're going to start this at Matthew 5, and we're going to read verses 17 and 20. And when you get there, Jeff, read, please.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Now, look at this statement. And I don't understand how a Christian can read this and come to the conclusion that we don't have to keep the law anymore. And some of the so-called intellectuals among them would say, no, we're not saying that Jesus came to destroy the law. No, we're not saying that. We're saying he came to fulfill it. But they make fulfill mean the same thing as destroy. Because if I destroy a law, that means it's no longer relevant. You no longer have to keep it. But then they say when he fulfills the law, that means we no longer have to keep it. That's a stupid statement. So essentially you're saying Jesus was saying, I did not come to destroy the law, but to demolish it. I did not come to destroy the law, but to destroy the law. If the result is we no longer have to keep the law, then that's the same as destroying it, and you know that. So already out of the gate, you can see that these Christians are not reading this Bible with understanding or with honesty. Whatever fulfill means here, it is contrary to destroy. It is the opposite of destroy. What Jesus is saying is, don't think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but what? Whatever is the opposite of bringing something to an end. Whatever is the opposite of destroying something, that means continuing in it or making it alive, making it more lively. And you're going to tell by the rest of his words that that's exactly what he's saying. And he's going to use some pretty hyperbolic language to let you know how permanent the law of Moses is. But Christians don't really believe this stuff. They don't. There's like a lot of the Christians in the chat room last night, and it wasn't all of them because there was a lot of them that love what I was saying. And even told Gideon, yo, I can't wait to hear from this dude again. I got a lot of friend requests on Discord last night. There was a lot of people that was feeling what I was saying. But the majority of them were just like, angry. Because they don't understand. They don't really read what Jesus said. But watch what else it says. Now, continue, Jeff.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled.
Now it says, for verily I say unto you. Now, he's giving you a qualifier of how long the law is valid, how long the law is relevant, how long the law is supposed to be kept. Look at his qualifier. For verily, which means truly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. That means the heaven and earth is destroyed, does not exist anymore. When you walk out your front door, there's no earth and there's no heaven, no sky. He says, the heaven and earth pass. They don't see this part right here, though, Jeff. They don't see that until heaven and earth pass. This is how they read this. For verily I say unto you, till all be fulfilled. That's how they literally read that. Because every time we ask them about, well, what did he mean when he said until heaven and earth pass, that means nothing to them. If he's telling you that he came to fulfill the law, and you're interpreting that to mean, well, that means he came to end it. Okay, fair enough. But he lets you know it will not end until heaven and earth pass. So if heaven and earth is still here, then that means Jesus did not fulfill everything, and the law is still good. But they skip right over that. You ask the average Christian, what does it mean when he says the heaven and earth pass? They know what it means, but they ignore it. And talking to a Christian is like talking to a stubborn child. It's like they only see what they want to see. They show me stuff. I'm like, yeah, I see that address, everything they say. I show them stuff. No, I don't care anything about that. They dismiss stuff. Christians are very dismissive. They are. It's like you ain't said anything, right? That's what was happening when I was talking to most of the people who tried to comfort me, because a lot of people came on stage, they were just asking me sincere questions. But the ones that tried to, you know, debate me, they don't hear anything you're saying. I would say something, I would repeat it. Some of y'all was in there last night. I would say something, I would repeat it. They'll come right back and ask the same question. I said, dude, I just answered that. Well, what do you think of this? I think this. Okay, so what do you think of this? I just told you. They're not really listening to you. Y'all know what they say. A lot of people don't listen to hear. They only listen to respond. A lot of people, when they are sitting there listening to you, all they're really doing is waiting for you to finish talking so they can say what they got to say. They're not absorbing anything you say. I don't like talking to people like that. I want to know that I'm being heard, and I want it to be addressed what I say, right? So Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass, not one jot, that's the Hebrew word, the Hebrew letter, yod, it looked like a little apostrophe yod. Or one tittle, which is another small stroke of the pen, like a little tiny stroke of the pen when you're writing a Hebrew letter. Not one dot or tittle. If you put this in English terms, that's like Jesus saying, not one apostrophe or period will pass from the law to all is fulfilled. That sounds like Jesus is saying, don't think that anything in this law is no longer valid. You can't tell me as a literate Christian, now if you're illiterate, can't do nothing about you. But you can't tell me as a literate Christian, you can't see what he's saying here. But you know what you're going to do? You're going to immediately go into a defensive mode and start mentally quoting Paul's writing in your head. That's why Triller was like, don't let nobody come up here talking about no Galatians chapter 2 until they deal with that reference he gave from the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's why he said that. Because all they want to do, you go to Jesus, they go to Paul. You don't use Paul to qualify Jesus. You use Jesus to qualify Paul. So if Jesus said something about the law and said it's permanent until heaven and earth pass, if the heaven and earth did not pass when Paul started teaching, then you cannot say that. You cannot say that Paul was doing away with the law, right? But keep reading.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
Now look what he said. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. See, Christians don't even understand. And the brother that I was talking to last night, and this ain't a shot against him, I asked him, we was reading another verse when Jesus said the commandments of God. I asked him, what was the commandments of God in the days of Jesus? You can't say the gospel because the gospel wasn't even written yet. So what was he talking about? And this was an honest brother, and he was intelligent. It took it, he hesitated about it because he knew, you know, oh man. But eventually he said, you know, the law of Moses. That's what he eventually just broke down and said, it's the law of Moses. Right? So when Jesus says here, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, that means break anything in the law of Moses. This is Jesus talking. I don't see how Christians can say we're Christians, we're followers of Christ, we're saved, we're sanctified, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then when I show you something that Christ said, you get mad at me. You get angry with me. Everything I showed them last night, it was what Christ said. Every single thing. And then I saw where he got it from. And people in the chat, angry with me. Because there's a lot of people out here who call themselves Christians that are not Christians at all. And I'm not talking about you're not a Christian because, you know, you claim to be a Christian, but you're really out here fornicating and stealing and hating your neighbor. I'm not talking about that. When I say faith Christians, sometimes I mean Christians that know that the so-called Christianity that they believe in, that's not even really Christianity either. And when you show them proof of this, they get angry. A lot of them don't know the real Jesus. And that's why when you present the real Jesus to them, they get very angry. We don't know this Jesus, right? Well, a Jesus that said the law of Moses is still good? Even though you're reading right out the Bible where Jesus himself said about it, yeah? They still mad at you, like you making Jesus say that, like you're a puppet master and you're putting these words into Jesus' mouth. No, you're reading this out your own Bible. And we're going to read another translation. This is why I don't like talking to most Christians, because most Christians don't come to talk. They come to teach. They don't want to talk to you. They just want to teach you. They just want to sun you. That's what I said a lot of them wanted to do to Gideon. They want to just sun the man. Just, you need to study under me. Don't listen to God. Just study under me. But I ain't never told him don't listen to anybody else. Y'all know I ain't never. In fact, everybody on the stage, come off your mic. Have I ever told y'all, since y'all been studying with me, don't listen to anybody but Josh? Have I ever told y'all that? Have I ever said that?
No.
I've never said that. I've never said that. Have I ever said only study what I show y'all? Have I ever said that?
No.
I've never said that. But these brothers that was in Gideon live stream last night, oh, they were like, you know, you don't need to listen. You know, I'm worried about you. They already trying to throw shade at me. A lot of them, before I even was talking or said anything to them, they came on the stage. They said things that I didn't agree with. I didn't try to comfort them. I didn't go to Gideon and was like, yo, bro, you don't need to be listening to dude right now. The only thing I ever told Gideon that was even close to something like that is that if this is the beginning of your walk, you don't want to begin your walk arguing with people. You want to try to get down pat. You want to become stable and grounded in something before you start arguing back and forth with people. I think that's some pretty sound advice. I don't think if you're just now learning something, it should begin with you arguing about it. You know, this is like a married couple. As soon as they get married, they're arguing constantly. Anybody will be like, yo, man, this y'all off to a bad start. But that's the most I ever said. I said, anybody that's trying to, like, argue with you and stuff, you need to hear them. I ain't say don't listen to anybody that's just trying to show you some stuff. But everybody wanted to debate. Right? Now, he said, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. He said, if you break any one of the laws of Moses, because that's what this is talking about, and teach others to do it, you shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And as I always say, being called the least in the kingdom of heaven does not mean you're going to be waiting tables, yet still be in heaven. He's going to show you what he means. Go ahead and read.
But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
How come nobody is reading this? Jesus is saying, whosoever shall do the law of Moses and teach them, they shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In order to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, to be great in it, it means you got a good place in it. Notice that Jesus is linking even being in heaven in a great position. He's associating that with keeping the law of Moses. You mean to tell me as a Christian, you can't see this? You can't see what he's saying here? Are you that delusional about what you think Paul is saying that you can't even see what your Lord and Savior is plainly saying? If Paul came after Jesus and said anything contrary to this, and it's like definitely a contradiction, I am done with Paul. That's how y'all are supposed to do it, Christians. Either Paul is a liar or you don't understand Paul. Those are the only two options. Because Jesus said the law is good as long as we have a heaven and an earth. That means a sky and ground. This planet is still here. That's what Jesus said. Right? Now, continue, please.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Do you see how he equated being called least in the kingdom of heaven to in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven? Because that's what it means to be called the least in the kingdom of heaven in this particular verse. No case enter. And then he also said that except your righteousness shall exceed, that means go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees taught the law of Moses, but they did not practice the law of Moses. So when Jesus is saying, and we're going to read that. So when Jesus was saying, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, that means you just can't teach the commandments. You also got to do them. That's why he said, whoever shall teach and do them. So why is it that people in that last thing last night, when me and even Brother Gideon, when we were teaching the commandments, people were saying stuff like, we're going to pray for y'all. You're going to pray for us for following the words of Jesus? I hope the prayer is keep doing, I pray that they keep doing what they're doing. They were praying, they were saying, oh, we're going to pray for y'all like we don't went off the deep end. These are the words of Jesus. Admit it, Christians. Y'all don't really read the words of Jesus like that. Y'all love John 3 and 16. That's my favorite verse in the entire Bible, by the way. John 3, 16. Y'all read that. Y'all read love your neighbor, love your enemies. Y'all read all of that. But when Jesus started really getting into how he felt about the law of Moses, all of a sudden Christians got tunnel vision. You can't even bring up the law of Moses without somebody, you know, beelining it to Paul, going straight to Paul. Can we see what Jesus said first? Let's see what his attitude was about it. Jesus said,
"You want to come up here and talk? You don't know about folk UMMP. I'm teaching you off the stage before Josh himself. If you better, educate. You want to come up here and talk? You better educate yourself on folk UMMP right now. I'm kicking you off the stage."
In fact, Trilla, after this class, you need to educate them on that. It ain't fair to kick them off about something. See, this is what I like to do. And sometimes, you know, I do it the way you saying doing it too. You got to have what is called qualifiers before people can talk. I definitely agree with you on that. But when it comes to the Dead Sea Scrolls, very few people know anything about that. So
I just put that in the chat so they can look it up. So
right.
That's a qualifier.
Oh, there it is. Do their research. And that's if they want to come on the stage and try to argue. But I want them, if they do come on the stage, address what Jesus said. Don't jump being the Paul. You either address what Jesus said or you address what Auntie Steph and Trilla put in that chat. You address that. Then we can go to Paul. But right now, can we all agree, first, the people on the stage, that Jesus' attitude towards the law is that it's permanent and that if you break it, you're going to be in bad shape concerning the kingdom? Can we all on the stage agree with that so far?
Amen.
Can we agree with that? Is anybody, if you in the chat room, if you see that Jesus' attitude towards the law is that he's promoting it and condemning people who break it, and we're going to read that, right? And we all know, sorry, we already read that, right? We can see, if you can see that in the chat, that he was promoting the law, you know, type one, if y'all can see that. If you don't see it, type two, and then after the class is over, come on the stage and tell us what you are getting out of it. We will let you come on in. We'll let you exegete Matthew 5:17-20 for us. We will let you do that. But don't just be in sucking your teeth and shaking your head. That doesn't prove anything, right? But let me show you how this reads in the NIV, right? The reason why I want to go to the NIV with this is because guess what? A lot of these people, they like the NIV. I'm going to read it in the NIV, New International Version. This is Matthew 5:17-20. Look what it says. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. See, I like how this translation reads even better. He's telling people, Jesus, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. Jeff, Trilla, help me to understand how Jesus is saying, don't think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, and yet mainstream Christianity teaches that's exactly what he did.
Because they don't understand what the word slavery is, even though they'll go straight to the Greek word slavery, go to the outline of biblical usage. Where it means to complete. But if I complete a mission, that don't mean that I don't have to do it again. Because if we go look at other verses where the word is used, people are still fulfilling the law after the death of Christ, like Romans chapter 2. But when you look at the context of what that word fulfill means in Matthew chapter 5, fulfill the prophets and perform the law as it was intended to be. Because you see, the children of Israel, they weren't really into performing the law the way that it was intended to be. But that's what Christ came to do. If you don't believe me, just
go to get
the
legs. Exactly. But don't you think it's funny, though, Jeff, that he says, don't think I have come to abolish the law, and Christians teach, yep, that's what he did? Is that weird?
I would say it's clear right there, but I would say that they were told how to break down that passage, but they haven't read it for themselves. And then when they hear the truth, it kind of like goes against their doctrine, and, you know, doctrine is very powerful. So that's how I would look at it.
Right. But look what it says, NIV, Matthew 5:17-20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And he lets you know everything is accomplished when heaven and earth disappear. So that means the law is good until heaven and earth disappear. And I still see heaven and earth, so the law is still good. But look what else he says. Therefore, anyone who set aside one of the least of these commands and teach others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying that if anybody sets aside, I mean, ignore and teach others to do the same thing, they shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, but whoever practices and teaches these commands, talking about the law of Moses, will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So why is it that my Lord and Savior and your Lord and Savior, Christians, he just said, whoever practices the law of Moses and teach others to do the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Y'all are condemning me. Y'all are saying, something's wrong with me. I'm doing what my Lord and Savior said. Y'all are doing what y'all Paul said. And y'all ain't even really following Paul. Y'all ain't even reading all of Paul. Y'all cherry-picked the heck out of Paul. It's time for some good old-fashioned honesty. Most Christians are not really reading their Bible. They're just listening to their pastors. When you argue with a Christian, all you're really arguing with is what their pastor taught them. They do not read the Bible for themselves. You're arguing with the interpretation they gave them. That's all you're doing. Because there's no way you can read this and tell me that Jesus came to condemn the law of Moses or abolish it or say it's not any good anymore. Because he just told you that if you break them and teach others to do so, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. And guess what, y'all? The law of Moses said don't eat pork. The law of Moses said you're supposed to wear fringes. And so on and so forth. This is what the law of Moses says. And Jesus said, if you break one of the least of these commandments, meaning the ones that you consider to be insignificant and don't matter. If you break one of the least of these, we can't pick out what we want to be the least anyway or the greatest. But just in case you got this mindset like, well, this one right here really don't matter that much. Break that and teach others to do so. You just can't. Then he says in verse 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So then you know you will not enter the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, which were the teachers of the law. Well, let me show you how this reads in the New Living Translation. Because I like to show it to y'all from different angles. So people can try to act, so people want me to act like they don't see this. Because I know y'all can see this. And I know it might be some Christians listening right now, and they're just grinding their teeth. But what you mad at me for? What are you mad at me for? You don't love Jesus. That's the real problem. It ain't me. This going to say the same thing it's been saying, whether you hear it from my mouth or not. But look what it says. Don't misunderstand why I have come, which the majority of Christians do. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I love the way this one reads. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Still letting you know, heaven and earth got to disappear. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This is right here in the New Living Translation, which a lot of Christians use. Jesus said if you obey God's laws. And again, during the time of Jesus, there was no gospel yet, like written down for them to know what he's talking about. So he says God's law, he's talking about the law of Moses. This is what Jesus is teaching. How can a Christian read this and be like, we're going to be keeping that law. We're going to be teaching people to follow that law of Moses. They'll just ignore this and go right into Paul. I do not want to hear anything Paul said if you explain what our Lord and Savior said first. Explain what he meant in these verses first. That's what I want to do, deal with first. I don't want to put the carriage before the horse. You don't read a book from the end to the beginning. I want to know what Jesus said. You were not baptized in the name of Paul. Y'all are not called Paulites or Paulinians. You're called Christians. Everything starts and ends with Christ. That's what it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to start with them, and it's supposed to end with them. That's why it's called the Alpha and Omega, on the beginning and the end. I mean, everything starts with me, everything ends with me. Y'all start with Christ, but y'all end with Paul. And y'all ain't understanding what Paul said anyway. And even when Paul is not very clear in some things that he says, the things that are clear about what he said about the law, y'all ignore that. So y'all just cherry pick Paul. And y'all are getting upset at me because I'm exposing the falsehood you've been taught. You're getting your feelings. Nobody likes to believe that their religion is wrong. But let's just be honest, y'all. There are thousands of Christian denominations out here, and more are being created every day. They can't all be right. But if you talk to a Baptist and a Pentecostal, I bet that Baptist is going to be like, no, I got the truth. That Pentecostal is going to be like, no, I got the truth. That's what they're going to say. Nobody's going to say, I'm a Pentecostal, but I know it's not really the truth. Nobody's going to say that. Everybody believes they got the truth. That's why it amazes me how people get so offended when you don't believe what they believe. Like, there's not thousands of other alternative beliefs to what you're talking about. Verse 20. But I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is Jesus associating entering the kingdom of heaven with keeping the law? Well, and I'm going to show you this is not the only time he did that either. Why is he associating entering the kingdom of heaven with keeping the law? But last night, and Gideon will tell you, I got asked like 15 times, are you saying that if we don't keep the law, we can't get into heaven? It's not Jesus associating right here. Everybody on the stage, is he not associating keeping the law with entering the kingdom of heaven, y'all? Everybody on the stage, do everybody see that?
Yeah, I see it, yeah.
So why are they asking me like this, like they ain't never heard this in the Bible before? Because they ain't never heard it in the Bible before, because they ain't never read it. And it's in Matthew 5, the fifth chapter of the first book of the New Testament. This ain't in some obscure place like in Revelation 20 somewhere. This is in the fifth chapter of the first book of the New Testament, and you ain't never read this. That's pitiful. You are not qualified. But now that we got that out of the way, let's go to Luke 16. Y'all remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus, right?
Yes, sir. Some of being Drake Faith.
Mm-hmm. How, you know, the rich man died and Lazarus died and both of them went to hell, Hades, and the rich man was in torment, and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, and he was being comforted with Abraham, right? Y'all know the story, but we don't get to that. I just want y'all to pay attention to something, right? We're going to come back to that later. I want to deal with something in here, this verse first, that a lot of people ignore. We're going to Luke 16, 16 through 17. Read that.
Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it.
Now, he said the law and the prophets were unto John, right? Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. In other words, the law and the prophets were unto John the Baptist. John the Baptist was like the last prophet like of the old covenant before Jesus came on the scene, right? Watch what else he says in verse 17.
Verse 17, and it is easier for heaven and to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Now look what he said. First he mentions that the law and the prophets were unto John the Baptist. Then he immediately says, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. What Jesus is saying right here is it's easier to destroy the entire earth and the sky than it is for one tittle of the law to fail. You ain't never read this as a Christian. You can't read something like this and think, oh, the law done away with. Jesus came to abolish the law. First he said, don't even think I came to do that. Now he's telling you it's easier to destroy the whole planet than for one tittle, the slightest stroke of the pen, a period, a comma, an apostrophe of the law to fail. Well, let me show y'all how this reads in other translations. We're going to read this again. Verses 16 and 17, and we're going to read it in NIV. Look what it says. Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the message of the prophets were your guide. But now the good news, gospel, of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is eager to get in. But that doesn't mean that the law has lost its force. Boy, how is it that these modern translations are bigging up the law more than the King James and the Christian aren't saying it, Jeff? Just the NIV. You know how many Christians read the NIV? But that doesn't mean that the law has lost its force. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the smallest point of God's law to be overturned. Y'all know what it means to overturn a law? Last night, that brother I was talking to in Gideon's live stream, he said Jesus overturned the dietary law. He didn't use the word overturn, but that's what he was saying. He overturned that. When you overturn a law, that means you change it or you get rid of it. But Jesus then said it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the smallest point of God's law to be overturned. See, they don't understand the difference between how Jesus felt about the law and how he felt about the traditions of men. And then it'll go to the traditions of men. It tells you it's the traditions of men. Over and over again, they read you, Jesus, condemning the traditions of men, and then they just slide the law of Moses in there with it. How can you do that? That's what Christians do, and get mad at me because I ain't falling for that. He condemned the traditions of men. You got to show me where he condemned the law of Moses. All Jesus did, which the brother correctly said last night, he said he elevated. Right? Well, let me tell you how this reads in the New Living Translation, because this is amazing to me. I'm reading what Jesus is saying, and it's only going to get deeper. Jesus promoted the law of Moses. He told us to teach it and do it, and said if we break it and teach others to do so, we are not entering into the kingdom. Last night, we were teaching the law of Moses. Hey, you're supposed to be eating pork. And then when you cross-reference that with Isaiah 66 and go to the last verse after Jesus said he's going to kill everybody that's eating pork and other abominations when he comes back, the last verse you read is something that describes the lake of fire, just like it does in Mark 9 and 44. Ain't it funny how Jesus is saying that you will go to hell, and then the last verse you read after it talks about people that's going to get killed who are eating swine in Isaiah 66, the last verse in that chapter describes the lake of fire. So to answer anybody's question, if I eat pork, will I go to hell? If you know better and you do, yes. Yes, you will. Just like you will if you commit adultery. Just like you will if you're a thief or a murderer. Yes. But look what it says. We already read that, right? Let's see, overturn. Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to Luke 21. We're going to come back to Luke 16. Don't worry about it. We're going to come back to it. Luke 21. We're going to read verses 32 and 33. This is after Jesus had just prophesied how Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Roman army. Now watch what he says right here. So we just see how he used, we saw how he used heaven and earth, right, as a teaching point to show you how permanent the law is. Now he's going to even go beyond that when you read this. This is Luke 21, and this is verses 32 and 33.
Luke chapter 21, verse 31. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Now Jesus just said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. What is his word? Everything he taught. About the gospel, about the law, everything, every prediction he made. Everything. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So now he's using even more hyperbolic language. He don't went beyond the heaven and earth. He said, even if heaven and earth pass away. longer will be gone, because Jesus just came back and said, hey, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So that means even when there's no heaven and earth, the law still good. That means everything I said. How are Christians reading this and not seeing that? Because the truth of the matter is, a lot of Christians just want to be rocked to sleep. That's all it really is. They want to be rocked to sleep. They want to be told, you know, we saved and, you know, we ain't got to keep any law and Jesus did it all. Jesus died so you can keep sinning. That's what they're essentially teaching you. And they'll say, we ain't got to keep that law. And then when you start quoting stuff from the law that also is in the New Testament, now they want to act like Paul and Jesus didn't get this from the law of Moses. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. They even listed out the way it appears in the law. That's the law of Moses, y'all. But Jesus lets you sin. But watch this. Still in Luke, let's go to chapter 10. See, they don't like these type of topics. They don't like this stuff. This stuff messes with them. Well, he's teaching that law. I was born brainwashed. It ain't your fault. We were born into a world where the law of Moses was frowned upon and spit at. It's already been ingrained in you. It's the very blood that pumps through your veins. It's going to be hard for you to get out of that. I get it. But don't be so deceived that you don't even believe your own eyes. I don't think any Christian would be stupid enough to try to read these verses and try to say, well, no, he's not saying that about the law. They're just going to dismiss it, even though it's the word of Jesus now. That's what I find about Christians. Muslims won't even do that. If Muhammad says something in that Quran and you show a Muslim that, they shut up. I've done it. They don't keep trying to argue with you. They'll probably change the subject or they'll just shut up. But you show a Christian what Christ said, they'll keep right on running their mouth, even though they're going against what Christ said. You know, what Christ said this about the law. Okay, well, Paul, whoa. How are you going to jump to Paul after I just said what your Lord and Savior said? You think if Paul and Jesus were standing right next to each other right now, and Jesus got to talking, Jesus going to be like, well, go talk to Paul. You know what Paul's going to do? He's going to bow down and be like, yeah, that's him right there. Listen to him. Y'all don't understand that. And Paul did not contradict Jesus. Y'all just don't understand Paul. Peter warned us that if you are unlearned and unstable, you will twist Paul's writings as people twist other scriptures to your own destruction. He's the only apostle in the Bible with a warning against twisting his words. He's the only one. That means he said some things that can be misunderstood by people who are unlearned. What does unlearned mean? That means ignorant or uneducated. 95% of Christianity is completely uneducated in the law of Moses and the traditions of men. They know nothing about them. But they dive right in the New Testament and trying to teach somebody something. That's why I'm giving y'all background on this. We're talking about the law of Moses. This is how Jesus felt about the law of Moses. Then we're going to tell how he felt about traditions of men. You can't cross the two. You can't combine the two. You can't overlap the two. They were separate as day and night. And the Jews knew this, right? They never called it, in the Testament, the law. They called it the tradition of men or the traditions of elders, right? But this is Luke chapter 10, 3:25 and 26, please.
Luke chapter verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
See, this is a lawyer. This is an expert of the law of Moses. So he's testing Jesus. He asked Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Question, Jeff, and everybody else on the stage. Isn't that the goal of all of us Christians, to get eternal life?
Yes, sir.
And that's why we do this every week? And that's why we try to change our walk? Do Trilla, Dre, ain't that why we doing this?
That's right.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Salvation, Because I can show you that this is equated to salvation. I can prove that in a whole other class, too. What do I do to get eternal life? Say it again.
Like Luke chapter 10, starting at 25,
the
good Samaritan, and the other one where Christ comes and
set
the sheep from the goats, and he tells them the requirements of everlasting life.
Yep. He says it all the time. So this is a question. If Jesus was standing in your face, because Hebrews says Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, the same, yesterday, today, and forever, meaning if he was standing right in your face right now, and you asked him the same question that this lawyer asked him, he would give you the same answer. Let's see what he told his lawyer. Continue, please.
Verse 26. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou?
What? Hold on. Just have faith in me. Did he say that?
No.
Confess with your mouth. Did he say that?
No.
Somebody came and asked Jesus in real time to his face, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Because he heard that Jesus was preaching eternal life. What do I got to do? First thing Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? How do you understand it? What are you getting out of it? Why in the world is it that when somebody asks Jesus about the requirements for eternal life, he refers them to the law? But when we refer to the law as a requirement for eternal life, demonize us. Y'all ain't following Jesus. I don't care how mad you get, Christians. You are not following Jesus. You cannot come on my stage and contradict Jesus and tell me you're a Christian. You can contradict me. You can contradict anybody else on this stage. But you cannot come on this stage and contradict Jesus outright and tell me you are a Christian. I don't know what you are, but you're not a Christian. Just like you can't say you're a Muslim if you're contradicting Muhammad. This is simple. You cannot do that. You got people who like to claim stuff and then dismiss it and deny it at the same time. So when the question of what do you have to do to get eternal life, which is the same as salvation, because we talk about salvation, we talk about eternal salvation. We ain't talking about Jesus came and just saved you for a little bit, but, you know, you're going to feel die. We ain't talking about that. When Christians talk about salvation, they're talking about eternal salvation. First thing Jesus did, took them to the law. Now let's see what the guy's going to say. Go ahead and read.
That's definitely what you want to
do. Okay. See, this is the type of backlash you get for following the real Jesus, not just fake Christianity Jesus. They got the fake Christianity Jesus. They can keep that Jesus. I don't want that Jesus. I'm never going to accept that Jesus again. Y'all can keep him. But continue.
Verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And thy neighbor as thyself.
And what's funny is you got some Christians that say that's all you got to do. They don't even understand that this is a quote from the law of Moses. And this was like what they would call the summation of all of the law of Moses. You know, to prevent you from just sitting up just rattling off hundreds of laws. This covered everything. This summed up everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So if you really feel that way about God, you're not going to have idols. You're not going to disobey him. That's how you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. And when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to do anything against your neighbor. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to murder him. You're not going to sleep with his wife. And so on and so forth. All when you understand that, that covers all of the do's and don'ts of the law of Moses. And the Jews just came up with a quick way to sum that up. And everybody understood it that way. Right? Now, after this guy quoted the law of Moses to Jesus, watch what Jesus says in return. Go ahead and read.
Verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right.
No. He said to him, you wrong. It's all about faith. Did he say that?
No, sir.
Did he say, no, that law of Moses, I'm coming to abolish that. Did he say that?
No, sir.
When he says that you have answered right, Correct. Exactly. You said it. That's what Jesus is telling this man. But if we ask the fact, like, if we're going to do some role playing, I can pull Gideon on stage right now and go into a Christian audience and have Gideon ask me, Josh, what I got to do to get eternal life, according to what you think. And I said, man, you know, what does it say in the law of Moses? Right? Every Christian in the chat room be like, wrong, that ain't what you got to do. One day. Y'all know it would. I'm gonna do that one day. Cause you know, Gideon used to be a prankster. We're gonna prank every Christian. We're gonna set it up just like that and then go right to this verse. See, they'll think about those stuff like that. Like, if I say that, if he asks me that question and I answer it the exact same way our Lord and Savior did, they're gonna say wrong. It ain't about that law. That's what they all gonna say. Denying Jesus right there on the spot. Don't even realize it. But what did he say? He said, you are right, and what else did he say? 28.
He said, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
He said, you have answered right, do that, do what? The law of Moses, keep the law of Moses, follow the law of Moses, do that, and you will live. And he's talking about eternal life. Do that, and you will get eternal life. All last night, y'all should have heard him. So many people in the chat and who came to the stage. So you're saying that we got to keep the law to get eternal life? I said, you got to believe in Jesus, but if you break that law, then that'll affect, you know, you not getting your eternal life. Because if you believe in Jesus, you're going to keep the law just like he did. They were asking me that. Right here, Jesus said that. Jesus said that. Not Paul, not Peter, Jesus. He told that man he was right. But hear them tell it, the Christians, Paul came on the scene a few years later and just took a dump on all of this. None of this, anything he just said, that don't even matter no more. But I'm the bad guy. Gideon was the bad guy. But this is what Jesus is saying. See, y'all don't know the real Jesus. I don't care how mad y'all get about me saying that. Y'all don't know the real Jesus. Y'all know the fake Jesus that had already been introduced to the world almost 1,500 years ago, even actually close to 1,800 years. That was introduced to the world 1,800 years ago and has been the prevailing ideal about who Jesus was for the last 1,800 years. So you were born into a culture that was already promoting this fake Jesus. And they've been doing it so good that when you go in your Bible and read exactly what the real Jesus said about the law, you still can't see it, even though it's plain as day. He ain't even getting deep with it. He ain't even saying something like, you know, and there was this thing, you know, like making a parable out of it. He's very plain with it. You have been deceived. Plain and simple. Right? But now, still in the book of Luke, let's go back to Luke 16. They be getting mad. They be upset. And all I'm doing is reading the words of Jesus. Now, there's some Christians listening right now, mad. Mad at what? What Jesus said? No, we mad at you. What did I do? I'm just reading what he said. You ain't mad at me. You mad at Jesus. If you was back then, you wouldn't want to have nothing to do with the man. A lot of us don't even understand that if we could time travel back to the time of Jesus, a lot of us wouldn't even like Jesus. We wouldn't even like him. So what are you talking about, man? I got to keep that law of Moses. I got to not be a hypocrite. Man, I don't like this dude. I like this Romanized Catholic version of him. You know, the one that says the Sabbath is done away with. Even in the Catholic version of the Ten Commandments, Sabbath they done away with. They literally deleted it from the Ten Commandments. Don't believe me? Look it up. And then they took the final commandment and split it in half to preserve the number 10. You see something like that in the Bible, I mean, in the Catholicism, and then see that you're doing the same thing when it comes to the Sabbath, that doesn't raise an eyebrow? wait a minute, I did away with the Sabbath too. And then y'all try to go on the scriptures and try to twist Jesus' words and Paul's words to get away from the Sabbath. Even the Roman Catholic Church admits there's nothing in the Bible that ever abolishes the Sabbath. We just don't keep it because we don't want to. We think we have authority as the church to change whatever laws we see fit. A lot of y'all Christians are nothing but Roman Catholics in denial. And the Catholics will even tell you that. They'll even tell you that. Y'all don't hijack everything about Catholicism except the name. There's a few things, like, you know, y'all, you may not believe in purgatory.
Okay.
Yep. You may not believe in purgatory or the infallibility of the Pope, but everything else, straight out of the Roman Catholic Church. All that. Y'all ain't nothing but some watered-down Catholics. That's why Catholics think they're superior to you. Y'all didn't know that? Y'all didn't think Catholics think they're superior to you? Why do you think they call their church the Mother Church? I mean, I'm over all of y'all. I gave birth to all of y'all. That's why they call themselves the Mother Church. You can deny that all you want to, and then you start looking up your doctrine, it came straight from them. That is like you drinking your brother's, not your brother, but your mother's breast milk, but at the same time denying your mother. That's what y'all doing. Y'all fucking on the teat of the Catholic Church, but denying the Catholic Church.
Right, and even the Jehovah's Witnesses, when I was going, they used to teach that you had to have a clean shaven face. They got rid of the Sabbath, and also you could eat what you wanted. But they have a lot of truth, like the holidays or whatever, but they still have traces of Catholicism, so it's definitely a powerful doctrine.
Exactly. You don't even understand. All that stuff you got, Christian, y'all hijacked that from the Catholic Church. I'm going to do a whole class on that. And then what makes it so funny, y'all, they try to justify it. No, I didn't get this from the Catholics. Yes, you did. Not you directly. But look at the history of what you believe. That's a history to everything everybody does. See how that stuff just popped out of nowhere. Luke 16.
And it started the Council of Jerusalem, if they like.
Yep. And there was a lot of councils, too, wasn't it, Auntie?
If they're looking for the one where they're saying the Gentiles don't have to obey the law of Moses, they can start the Council of Jerusalem. I'll put that in the chat, too, but I don't think anyone's paying attention, so I'll just listen.
Luke chapter 16, we're going to read 27 to 31. This is after Lazarus and the rich man died. In this story, Jesus says the rich man and Lazarus died. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus was carried over to Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted with Abraham, right? And then the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. He wanted one of them to dip their finger into some water so it can cool his tongue. He said, because I'm tormented by this flame. And Abraham let him know, now, in your life, you was, comforted, and Lazarus suffered. Now, Lazarus is comforted, and you're suffering. And besides all that, there's a great gulf or chasm between us, so we can't even pass over and get to each other anyway. So watch what this rich man asked Abraham to tell Lazarus to do, and you're going to see in this story, not only are you going to see Jesus' attitude about the law of Moses, but he's going to imply that if you don't do it, you're going to hell. You're going to see this yourself. I don't see how Christians miss this. I don't see how they do it. This is Luke 16, 27-31. Go ahead and read, please, yeah?
Luke chapter 16, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.
Now, this is the rich man in hell asking Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house, to the rich man's father's house, right? Lazarus is dead. So he wants Abraham to somehow resurrect Lazarus from the dead so he can go to the rich man's father's house. This is what this story is saying. Go ahead and read.
Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, but they also come into this place of torment.
What was the place of torment, Jeff? that they were in.
Hell.
This is a place of torment. So what many people don't understand is that the Jews, before Jesus died on the cross, believed that when everybody died, they went to this place called Sheol. And they believed this place was divided into two sides, one side for the righteous and one side for the wicked. So in Sheol, they could see each other, but they could not interact or cross over into each other's territory, right? That's why they're both, all three of these people are described as being in hell, right? But that's another lesson. But the point is, this rich man is asking Abraham to send Lazarus back to his father's house. But Lazarus is dead. So in order for Lazarus to do that, he would have to resurrect, right? And he's going to tell you what he said. He said, for I have five brethren, that he, Lazarus, may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So this rich man is saying, I need you to send Lazarus to my father's house and talk to my five brothers so he can tell them what they need to do to avoid going to hell. Ain't this what this is saying, Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Do everybody on the same see this? Do everybody see this? Everybody see this? That's why, that's the whole point, right? Watch what Abraham, which is really Jesus talking in this story, because this is a story, it's a parable. Watch what Abraham suggests to the rich man. Here's all they need to do to avoid hell. Read that, next part.
Abraham saith unto him, they Moses had the prophets. Let them hear them.
Wait a minute. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them, my brothers, hear them. Remember, the whole context of this is send Lazarus to my brothers so he can tell them what to do to not go to hell. Abraham says, no, that ain't even necessary. They got Moses and the prophets. Just listen to them. Jesus is plainly telling you that Moses and the prophets, meaning listening to them and following them, is how you avoid hell. Game over, Christian. Game over. I don't want to talk about anything else with y'all. This is Jesus talking. Remember, this is Jesus. This ain't really Abraham talking. This is not really Lazarus talking. This is not really the rich man talking. This is a parable. He's telling you that this is how you avoid hell. Read the law and the prophets and follow them. Now watch what the rich man says. He says, convinced. Just like the Christians don't are not convinced. Go ahead and read.
And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.
He said, no, Father Abraham, if one went from them from the dead, they'll repent. In other words, if they know that Lazarus came back to life, just to tell them, don't do anything that'll send you to hell, then they'll listen. He's like, that'll be a more powerful persuasion. Because the symbolism is talking about Jesus' resurrection. Now, watch what he says in verse 31. Read that.
Verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
And who actually died and rose from the dead? Jesus. So what this parable is saying is, if you don't hear Moses and the prophets, you're not going to hear Jesus because they're teaching the same thing. That's the whole point. That's why the rich man said this. That's why Abraham said this. If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Because the one that rose from the dead, guess what? He's going to tell you the same thing that Lazarus would have told you. That the Moses and the prophets would have told you. Jesus in this parable is letting you know that if you want to avoid hell, you have Moses and the prophets, hear them. Just like when the guy asked him about the opposite of hell, which is eternal life, Jesus said, go to the law. Notice that one says the law keeps you out of hell. The other says keeping it gets you in the kingdom. Both coming from the mouth of Jesus. And yet, when I was saying that last night in Gideon's live stream, the majority of the Christians in there want to take my head off. we're going to pray for you and Gideon, Josh. Josh, bad teacher. Josh doesn't know how to teach. Does it sound like I don't know how to teach here? Yeah? Let's keep it a buck. If I had to guess, I'm 10 times the teacher your pastor is. If I just had to guess.
That's all like an unlearn. That's a difference.
Right. He's saying all of this. But you don't have to be that knowledgeable of the Bible or of the law to see what Jesus is saying about it. So I like to just go, like, cut to the chase. This is what Jesus is saying about the law. This rich man in this parable, please, Abraham, send Lazarus from the dead to testify to my five brothers so they won't come to hell where I am. Abraham said, that's not necessary. They got Moses and the prophets. All they got to do is listen to them. Rich man like, that ain't enough. They need something supernatural to convince them. They need somebody coming back from the dead itself and telling them they need to all hear Moses and the prophets. Right? Because if Abraham said that about Lazarus in this parable, then what would Lazarus, if he had actually sent Lazarus in this parable to testify to them, what do you think Lazarus would have told them? He would have told them the law and the prophets. Like, it's not necessary to send Lazarus to tell them anything because they already got Moses and the prophets. If I did resurrect Lazarus from the dead to go talk to them, that's all he's going to tell them. But why go through all of that when the same thing Lazarus would tell them anyway, they already got it. That's why he said, and he said in some, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Game over, Christian. Game over. I don't want to hear nothing about no Paul. Jesus just plainly told you right now in this parable that if you want to avoid hell, hear Moses and the prophets. This is not actually Abraham talking. This is not actually Lazarus talking. This is not actually the rich man talking. This is Jesus telling a story and teaching in this story how the law affects your salvation. Because the whole point of this rich man trying to warn his five brothers on how not to end up in hell. And Jesus had Abraham saying, if they hear Moses and the prophets, they good. But Christians don't want to hear Moses and the prophets. Do they, Jeff? Do they, Triller? Do they, Auntie? Dre? Everybody else? They don't want to hear Moses and the prophets. So where's the majority of Christianity going? Hell, y'all gonna bust it wide open. So don't pray for me unless you're praying for me to keep doing what I'm doing. You need to be praying for your own selves. Because y'all the one that's gonna end up in hell, and y'all gonna be saying the same thing in hell. Man, I need to send somebody. Somebody needs to get word back to my family who think they're Christians, who refuse to hear Moses and the prophets. That's exactly what this rich man regrets for. How do I prevent my family from ending up in hell with me? Abraham told him the answer. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So apparently that rich man was not hearing Moses and the prophets. This is a powerful parable right here. And every Christian knows about the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. They all know about it. But they can't see that this is telling you the way to avoid hell is Moses and the prophets, that means that's what Jesus had to be teaching. They might tell the rich man that if you keep the commandments of Moses, you'll get eternal life. So I gave you an example of heaven and hell as it pertains to the law of Moses, and both were being stated by Jesus, and he gave you both sides of the coin. Law of Moses, eternal life. Break the law of Moses, in hell and torment, like the rich man. But let's continue, right? Let's go to Matthew 23 and see what Jesus said about the law. And we ain't even dealt with the tradition. I really ain't even got to deal with the traditions of men. Now, all you need to really know is how Jesus felt about the law. But they like to go to the traditions of men and twist that and make that the law of Moses. So I got to deal with that too. All this stuff Jesus saying about the law of Moses and some nut Christian gonna still jump up. Well, I still think you were saying in Mark 7 that we can eat anything we want. Really? All this stuff he said about the law, not even one little small part of the law to be broken? Not one part of it is going to change or be overturned? Except the important law, right, y'all? You know, the catfish, the shrimp, camel, dog, rats, mice. It's all the stuff that it says we don't supposed to be eating. You can come over my house right now, and I put some meat in front of you. You're like, ooh, Josh, what this feel? It look good. It smells good. Oh, this is some possum. Ew, I ain't eating that. You got some bacon in there, Josh? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You look at rodents the same way you look at the pig. So Christians do have some kind of standard of what they're not going to eat, most of them anyway. But they want to set the standards. No. Right? Nobody got time to play with y'all. Y'all don't believe in Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. I ain't never met Christians that don't want to talk about Jesus. What kind of Christian is that? Who don't want to talk about, who don't want to read what Jesus said about something? What kind of Christian is that? That's a fake Christian. That's what that is. And a fake Christian is not going to get any real time from Brother Josh. When you're really ready to get serious about what this Bible really says, then I'll talk to you. You know, they wanted me to come on my Discord, let's talk about some. No, not now. I ain't said I never will. Everybody want to talk to you. Talk to me about what? You trying to convince me don't listen to Jesus. That's all I'm going to get from anything. If you try to get me to do anything that go against what Jesus said about this law, to me, you say, don't bother trying to get me to do anything that go against what Jesus said. I don't care nothing about no Paul or nobody else above Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. We're Christians, right? Let's talk about Jesus. Then we'll talk about Paul. But you got to admit first what Jesus said. That's nothing. They'll talk about him with you, and then they'll just go, okay. No, you got to own it. What did Jesus say about the law? We got to hear you say that before we talk about anything else. That's my style of teaching. If you don't like it, plenty of other teachers on Clubhouse, YouTube, Facebook, you name it. You got to stand talk to me. Right? Matthew 23:1-3. Go ahead and read.
Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' feet.
He said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' feet. That means they are in charge of teaching you the law of Moses. They break it down for you. They explain the meaning for you. He said, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they're teaching you the law of Moses and explaining it to you. Let's see what Jesus is going to tell his followers to do. Go ahead and read.
Verse 3. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do.
Wait a minute. He said, all whatsoever they bid you observe, and we know it's in the context of the law of Moses. That's why he said they sit in Moses' seat. Moses was the law giver and the law teacher. In Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees were the law givers and the law teachers. So he said, whatever they bid you, whatever they tell you concerning the law of Moses, that observe and do. Why don't I ever see Christians reading this, Jeff? Jesus telling everybody said, then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples. We know he had 12 disciples. Well, he actually had more than 12 disciples, but it's about everybody that followed him. And what is a multitude, Jeff? I mean, what is a multitude? What's a multitude?
A multitude is a big crowd.
It's a big crowd. So Jesus is telling the whole big crowd and the people that follow him, do what the scribes and Pharisees teach you, tell you to do about the law of Moses. They teach the law of Moses. They give you the law of Moses. Do it. He didn't say they sit in Moses' seat, but don't listen to what they tell you about that law of Moses. Don't follow that law of Moses. He didn't say that. He said do it. But watch what he tells them not to do. Go ahead and read.
But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not.
But don't do what they do. In other words, do what they say, but not what they do, because they say and do not. They're hypocrites. And part of their hypocrisy was their traditions they came up with to circumvent the law of Moses. So do what they say when it comes to the law of Moses, but not what they do. Jesus is plainly telling us, do what the law teachers and lawgivers tell you to do concerning the law of Moses. Just don't follow their hypocrisy and by accepting their traditions, because their traditions were part of their hypocrisy. I'm going to show you that. Right? Right here, another verse. Anybody else get anything different out of this? This is the law, right? This is the law. But let me show you how this reads in the NIV, Matthew 23. Look what it says. Just get, you know, because they want to act like they don't see it in the King James. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. The NIV says you must be careful to do everything they tell you. And they, and Jesus just let you know they're teaching the law of Moses. How many times have we read that the law that, that Jesus promoted the law of Moses and said not one small part of it will ever be overturned? How many times have we read that? So why is it that the prevailing thought among modern-day Christianity is the opposite of that? Because y'all really worshiping the devil. Y'all worshiping that false Messiah that the Bible warns us about. And y'all get mad every time somebody exposed that false Messiah that y'all worship for who he really is. And that's why y'all get so upset. That's why they got so mad at me last night. That's why they got so mad at Gideon. Because we're showing you the Jesus y'all are talking about ain't the Jesus of the Bible. It does not coincide with the Bible Jesus. The Jesus y'all are talking about did away with the law. Don't hand me any of that crap about, well, when he died on the cross, that got rid of it. The heavens and the earth disappeared when he died on the cross? Nope, they don't want to hear that. Until you show me the heaven and earth disappearing, I don't want to hear anything about the law not being good anymore. That's all. That's another requirement. I'll add that to the list, Trilla. They got to show that too. They got to show that too. Let me tell you how this reads in the New Living Translation. Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. They explain the law of Moses to you and how to do it. So practice and obey whatever they tell you concerning what? The law of Moses. But don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They're hypocrites. Don't y'all think this was in the perfect time to his followers and the crowd don't worry about their law of Moses? He's still telling everybody to do it. If you really believe Jesus, then you know how he feels about the law of Moses. And when you read what he says about the law of Moses, you know you can't find a way around that, Mr. Christian. So what do? Y'all either deliberately twist Jesus' words by trying to make the traditions of men the law of Moses, or you ignorantly don't know the difference between the two, and when you read about the traditions of men, you think that's about the law of Moses. No, it is not. So now that we have shown you everything about the law of Moses, before I continue and start dealing with the traditions of men, can we all see that Jesus' attitude about the law of Moses is that it's just practice, and it will get you into the kingdom and keep you out of hell? Did we all see that? I'm saying, do we all see that? If anybody didn't see that from the writings of Jesus, when the class is over, what did they say, Trill? Right. So if anybody did not see this from the writings of Jesus that I presented, when we come on the stage, feel free to walk us through it and tell us what he really said. So now that we don't dealt with how he felt about the law of Moses, now let's see how he felt about the traditions of men, because this is what they don't know how to differentiate between. Christians are ignorant. They don't know the background of the New Testament. They don't know that by the time Jesus came on the scene, he was born into a world where the law of Moses was not the only standard the Jews were living by. They were also living by something also known as what, Trilla? Tell them, Trilla. I know you know. What were they also living by?
Something called the talking about the traditions of men?
Well, what did they call it? You know, that's what the New Testament called it, but what else did they call it? You know the name of the other books?
The Halakha.
And what else? Begin with a T.
Halakha, the Midrash.
Begin with a T. Yeah, the Talmud. The Talmud.
Yeah, the Talmud. Yeah,
I could have
just said that.
And they would have written all that other stuff in his name. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were also living by. Christians don't have any idea about this. They don't know any of this stuff. So when they read Jesus condemning the traditions of men, they think he's condemning the law of Moses. So let me tell you what we were with last night, and the brother I was talking to, even when we walked through it, because what he tried to do, he tried to jump all the way to verse 19. At first, I said, we ain't going to do that. We're going to start at verse 1. And when you start at verse 1, we're going to go to Mark 7. Mark 7, Jeff. When you start at verse 1, it lets you know. It lets you know. If we're talking about the traditions of men, after learning that Jesus' attitude about the law of Moses is it can't be overturned, not one jot or one tittle of it will ever fail. It's easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for one tittle of the law to fail. We can clearly see Jesus' attitude about the law of Moses. None of it can ever change. None of it is done away with. And if you break one of the smallest parts of it and teach other folks, you go into hell. Now that we know that that's an attitude toward the law, number one, you cannot tell me that he's going to ever try to say anything about the law or abolish it. And number two, if it plainly tells us we're reading about the traditions of men, don't try to overlap that with the law of Moses. If you do, you're either ignorant or you are a deceiver. That's what you are. Now, let's go to Mark 7. We're going to read 1 to 5, and then we're going to go somewhere else, but we're going to come right back to Mark. Mark chapter 7, 1 to 5, Jeff, go ahead and read.
Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault.
So when they saw them eat bread or food with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Did it say when they saw his disciples eat food, which is defiled, that is to say, swine, they found fault? Did it say that?
No.
Camel? Did it say that?
No.
Did it say catfish, dog, mice? Did it say that?
No.
It said when they saw his disciples eat food, which was defiled, that is to say, in other words, we're explaining to you what we mean by defiled here. That is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. The problem they had with Jesus' disciples is that they were not washing their hands before they touched their food to eat. But continue. Watch what else it says. Go ahead.
Verse 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders.
Holding the law of Moses. Did he say that? The law of God. Did it say that?
Tradition.
The commandments of God. Did it say that?
The tradition.
Now tell me why, Jeff, when I was talking to that brother last night, like I said, that was a good brother. We go to verse 1, and it's telling you plainly, this is not talking about the law of Moses. This is talking about the tradition of the elders. In other words, man-made traditions that the Jews themselves came up with in addition to the law of Moses. Plainly telling you that. Why is it that even though I walked this brother all the way down through this, he still tried to make it about the law of Moses?
Because he's still holding to the teaching of his spiritual leader, or pastor, whoever taught him.
That's what he's doing. We already see how Jesus felt about the law of Moses, so you can't have him dismissing any part of it here, or he's contradicting himself. That makes him a false prophet. That's what that would make him. That will make him a false prophet. We don't need to believe in Jesus if that's the case. All over the book, we see how Jesus felt about the law of Moses. And we're reading, this is not even talking about the law of Moses. So if you're getting the law of Moses out of here, you're either dumb or you're a deceiver. If you're getting the law of Moses out of this. Because it's plainly telling you what it is. Now, if it didn't say traditions of the elders or anything like that, then I wouldn't go hard on you like that. But it's plainly telling you what it's talking about. And that's something separate from the law of Moses. But watch what else it says. And they found fault because they were not, because Jesus' disciples were not holding to the tradition of the elders. Not the law of Moses, the tradition of the elders. Continue reading, please.
Mark chapter 7, verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables.
Now look what it says. And when they come from the market, talking about the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash, they eat not. Except they wash their hands, they won't even eat. And many other things there be which they have received to hold from who? The elders. This is the traditions of men. Jesus is going to also call it that, right? He said, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. So it wasn't just their hands. They were going crazy washing their plates, their cups, their pots. Because they thought if you ate something from a plate that was not washed first, they didn't think it was just unsanitary. They thought that you were sick. They thought you were defiled in the sense of being a sinner. That's what they believed. That was their tradition. Right? Now, read verse 5.
Verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why won't my disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with unwashing hands?
Why not thy disciples? Why won't not thy disciples according to the law of... Did it say that? Why walk not thy disciples according to the commandments of God? Did it say that?
No, the tradition of elders.
Why walk not thy disciples according to the... Did it say that?
No, tradition.
It said tradition of the elders. Why is it, Mr. Christian, that you can't see the difference between the law of Moses and the tradition of the elders? Because you don't read your Bible and you don't do any research. You don't even know what the traditions of the elders are, like what it means, where it came from, when it was first put into practice, what are the names of these traditions called today, what book can you find them in. Schiller can give you information on all of that. Y'all don't understand any of that. So what you do is you go in the New Testament and you see Jesus condemning the traditions of the elders, and you don't know that it has nothing to do with the law of Moses. So when he's condemning stuff about it, you got to make everything he said condemning that tradition in that context apply to the law of Moses as well. That's why when Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. Christians be like, see, he's talking about pork. Pork is the law of Moses, y'all. We ain't about the law of Moses. When Jesus said that, whatsoever only covered the context of that tradition of the elders' law. It only covers that. It don't mean whatsoever universally. No, you cannot do that. It's like if I work on a job, and I say anybody show up after 7 o'clock, you late. Everybody listening know, oh, he's just talking to the people who actually employed there. He doesn't mean if, like, a delivery truck comes on after 7 o'clock, you're going to be like, oh, you late. You got to make anybody mean in the context of what we're talking about. So when Jesus said, whatsoever goes into a man does not defile him, which we're going to read, and he's going to give us the context, by the way. He didn't mean whatsoever as in universally, everything, like pork, any kind of food. He meant in the context of that tradition. But they'll try to sneak the law of Moses in there when he said that, whatever. No, that ain't how the Jews looked at stuff. When you're talking about a legal document, you got to qualify all encompassing words like anybody and everybody. If you're talking about a legal document. Because if you try to make a legal document be taken literally in the sense of all encompassing words, then you're going to sound like an idiot. And the legal document won't make any sense. We don't even think about stuff like that. Because Christians don't understand very much about anything. All they know how to do is try to argue with you. They don't think logically. They think emotionally. That's how Christians think. That's how they argue. And you're taking them right through this and showing them the context, they don't want to see it. So it says, then the Pharisees and scribes asked them, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? That is not a law of Moses. There's no such law of Moses that states that. But hold your spot here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read the same thing because I like how Jesus answered this question. And then we're going to come right back. Matthew 15, 1 and 2. Same story. We're going to be back and forth between these two Gospels. Matthew 15, verse 1 and 2. When you read that, go ahead, please.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread.
So this is the same story. But what I like about this, it used the word transgress in the beginning. Transgress means sin again, or sin. So they're asking him, why y'all sinning according to the traditions of the elders? Not according to the law of Moses. Ignorant Christians don't know the difference. So they think when you read what Jesus condemned him here, he also took a shot at the law of Moses. He's not taking a shot at the law of Moses. And you're going to be able to tell by the very next thing Jesus asked them. Read that verse.
Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
What's the commandment of God, Jeff? What do we call it? What's the commandment of God?
Law.
That's the law. The law of Moses. Right? So when they accused him, when they asked him, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, notice that Jesus fired back at them and said, why do you transgress the law of Moses by your tradition? He's clearly drawing a distinction between the two. If he's drawing a distinction between the two, you can't make them cross over at the end of this story. That's what that brother was trying to do last night I was talking to. Because they want to eat that pork so bad. The idea of giving up pork. Oh, my God. I can't give up my pork. I love my ham. Get out of your feelings for one moment and honestly pay attention to what you're reading. He said, why do you transgress the commandment of God, the law of Moses, by your tradition? But when you read this story out with the Christians, they'll have you thinking that Jesus just pointed out their hypocrisy about breaking the law of Moses to start a new tradition, but then he did the same thing. That makes sense to you, Jeff. First, he rebuked them for breaking the law of Moses to start a new tradition, and then at the end of this, he breaks the dietary law from the law of Moses to start a new tradition that you can eat whatever you want to now.
That makes no sense.
Your Lord and Savior that you serve, not us, your Lord and Savior is a hypocrite. Because the very thing he just condemned them for doing, he did the same thing. Why is it when Jesus does it, it's not the same thing? He said, y'all breaking the law of Moses by your tradition. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break the law of Moses about the dietary law and start a new tradition. Now we can eat whatever we want to. That don't even sound like Jesus. Not that Jesus in his Bible. But now let's go back to Mark 7. I just wanted to point that out. First thing he did is fire right back at them. You asked me about why I'm breaking the tradition of the elders. You're breaking the laws of God. You follow what I'm saying? You're breaking the laws of God. And you're going to see that he condemned the traditions of men or the tradition of the elders. That's what he condemned. You Christians don't know the difference between the two. You think they're the same. That's the problem. You don't know what's what. That is the problem. And then when somebody tries to show you what's what, you want to attack them. You want to judge them. That's what you want to do. You don't know anything. 90% of Christians are not even qualified to even talk about the Bible because they don't really read it. And then when you try to take them to Jesus, they don't want to hear anything Jesus says. Well, Paul, no, I don't want to hear about Paul. We'll talk about Paul when we're talking about Paul. We're talking about Jesus right now. That's who I got baptized to. That's who my Lord and Savior is. I'm going by what he said. If he would have said something like the law's good until, you know, I send my 13th apostle all or something like that, then I would have been with y'all. But the way Jesus is talking, like, no matter who comes after him, the law is still good. That's how he described it. But somehow y'all don't think he was serious when he said that. Y'all thought Jesus was playing. Y'all thought he was pranking y'all. I'm going to make y'all think that this law lasts forever. But what I really mean is about 14 to 20 years when Paul comes. That don't even make any sense. So either Paul is a liar, Jesus is a liar, or you don't understand either one of them. This is Mark chapter 7. Back in Mark, read verses 6 to 13. It proves to you that he's still some of the tradition of the elders. Go ahead and read.
Mark chapter 7, verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Isaiah prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
What made them hypocrites? Remember we read in Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3, that they say and do not? Now he's calling them hypocrites based off of what? By their tradition. He's calling them hypocrites because their traditions make them break the law of Moses that they were teaching. See, the Pharisees and the scribes taught the law of Moses and their tradition. They taught both. But their hypocrisy made them break the law of Moses, even though they were still teaching the law of Moses. That's why he called them hypocrites. But how would Jesus have been any different? Because we've been reading the whole time that he was teaching the law of Moses. And that's what we've been reading, Jeff, and all these other verses?
All day.
So how would he not be a hypocrite if he's been teaching the law of Moses and then turn around and say, you ain't got to keep the dietary laws anymore. You can eat anything you want to eat. How could Jesus have the audacity to judge them for the same thing he's doing? The Pharisees had certain laws, and they said, no, we'll teach these laws, but we got other traditions that, you know, exempt us from this law of Moses or make this law of Moses no good anymore. That's how the Pharisees did. Now, Jesus comes on the scene, points out that hypocrisy, and then on the way to doing that, let me also do the same thing they did. You can't see that that's hypocrisy? And see, that's the thing about a hypocrite. That's how I know a lot of these Christians are hypocrites, because a hypocrite rarely sees his hypocrisy. That's the worst thing about being a hypocrite. You don't see that you're a hypocrite. You're blind to it. That's why Jesus also called them blind leaders of the blind. Most hypocrites cannot see their hypocrisy until somebody points it out to them. And then when somebody points it out to them, they do one or two things. They either repent and say, yeah, I shouldn't be doing that. Or they'll get mad at you. And that's what a lot of Christians do. They get mad when I point out their hypocrisy, because you say you believe in Jesus, but then when I show you something Jesus said, you don't want to listen. That makes you a hypocrite. You say you believe in Jesus, but then when I show you his words, you don't want to do it. So you say you are a Christian, but you do not. A lot of y'all Christians, y'all mom and they Pharisees. That's all you are. That's all you are. And when people point out y'all's hypocrisy, y'all get mad. I mean, they were trying to crucify me in that chat last night. You feel me? Right? But continue reading.
Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
So Jesus is quoting Isaiah, a prophecy that Isaiah said, you know, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. He's applying this prophecy being fulfilled in his day too. And this was going on in Isaiah's time too. And then verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me. This is God saying that in vain, meaning for nothing, people worship him. How are people worshiping God for nothing? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What was the commandments of men that Jesus was rebuking? The tradition of the elders that said you got to wash your hands as well as pots and plates and everything else before you touch your food or before your food touches those vessels. still talking about the tradition of men. We're not talking about the law of Moses. So if Jesus later on says that whatever, that nothing that goes in you can defile you, it's in the context of this legal document of the traditions of men. It doesn't universally include what the law of Moses says about what you can eat and not eat. Because if it did, that would make this tradition of men and Moses' law the same thing. You got two sets of legal documents next to each other, and you're trying to make what Jesus said about one apply to the other, even though he was careful to draw a distinction between the two. So when he said whatever goes into a man cannot defile him, he was contradicting their tradition. So what did the whatsoever mean? That means if it's on a dirty plate, if you ain't washed your hands before you did it, if you ain't washed your body before it did it, that whatever is covering all the stuff that they taught, not all the stuff the law of Moses taught. Y'all understand? You understand that, Jeff?
Yes, clear to me.
It's talking about what the traditional elders taught. But they'll take that whatever to go beyond what Jesus said about the traditions of the elders and overlap over into Moses' law. You cannot do that unless you're telling me that the traditions of the elders and the law of Moses are the same. If he would have said the law of Moses, then, okay, we can eat pork now, right? But watch what else he says.
Mark chapter 7, verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God, he holds the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things he does.
But guess what, Jeff? The Jews in this time were also eating pork. The Pharisees did not eat pork either. They kept the dietary law. So why is it when Jesus said, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, why didn't he say, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things he do, including like eating, not eating swine? Why didn't he say that? Notice that everything he's addressing is in their legal document, not the law of Moses. So you got to qualify these words like whatever. Whatever means whatever they said defiles a man, according to their tradition. If that goes in you, it won't defile you. Eating with unwashed hands don't defile you. Eating a pot that has not, eating off a pot or a plate, or drinking from a cup that has not been cleaned does not defile you. Well, eating pork don't defile you either. Wait a minute. What does it say that at? He said whatsoever. Yeah, whatsoever according to this legal document. That's like if you got your own house, Jeff, and you say, in standing in your house, you talking to your children. You say, anybody, you don't got to say anybody in this house. You ain't got to say all of my children. Jeff can just say, anybody who disrespect me, they're going to go on the punishment. You talking to your children, anybody. Your children ain't going to leave out of the house thinking, he mean anybody. That mean that if the mailman disrespect him, he going to go on the punishment. They know that anybody does not mean universally anybody. It means anybody in the confines of what we're talking about. Christians don't even understand that. They see that whatever. He said whatever. Yes, in the confines of the tradition of the elders. Now, that means the law of Moses too. No, that does not mean that. This means in the confines of what their legal documents say. But continue. And we're going to see that.
Matthew chapter 7. Oh, sorry.
But go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Mark chapter 7, verse 9. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
He said, full well, you reject the commandment of God, the law of Moses. That's what the commandment of God is. Rebuking these people for rejecting the commandment of God that they may keep their own tradition. And you trying to tell me he's going to rebuke them for rejecting the law of Moses to keep their own tradition and then turn around and reject the dietary law and the law of Moses to start a new tradition that we can eat whatever we want to? What kind of hypocrite Messiah y'all following, Christian? You don't think anybody back then would have caught that hypocrisy? Wait a minute, Jesus, you just rebuked them for doing the same thing you just did. Why is it you get to delete things from the law of Moses to start a new tradition, but when they do it, they're hypocrites. Y'all understand that? That's the Christians don't even understand that they have created a hypocritical Messiah because they're trying too hard to make the tradition of the elders be the law of Moses. That's what they're trying to do. But watch this. Keep reading.
Verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death.
Now he's giving them a case in point. For example, Moses, the law of Moses says, honor your father and your mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die to death. Now, how would that have been any different if the Pharisees flipped the script and said to Jesus, the same thing he said, and imagine the Pharisees saying this. We're going to pretend like the Pharisees talking. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses says, the swine is unclean unto you, and you shall not eat it. They could have said the same thing back then, couldn't they? That's what y'all making the Christians are making Jesus say. Now, why this says, but read verse 11.
But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free.
So he's contrasting what the law of Moses says about honoring your father and mother with something the tradition of men or the tradition of the elders say about honoring your father and mother. And he's going to show you how the tradition makes you break the law of Moses. But again, can you imagine, before we break it down, can you imagine if after they said, for Moses said, you should not eat swine or any other unclean animals, right? But you say, talking to Jesus, whatsoever goes in a man does not defile him, but what comes out of a man defiles him. Y'all making Jesus a Pharisee, y'all. What kind of man rebukes people for breaking the law of Moses to start a new tradition and then turns around and breaks the law of Moses and start a new tradition? You can't tell them this without saying Jesus did. Because traditionally, Christians believe you can eat whatever you want. That's traditional belief. Y'all don't want to deal with the Passover lamb. Y'all want to eat the Christmas ham. Jesus was the Passover lamb. I'm going to show y'all in the lesson. I might wait till next Passover. I might even do it next week. Who knows? But I'm going to show y'all that we serve the Jesus who was the Passover lamb. Oh, serve the Jesus that was the Christmas ham. I'm going to show y'all that. Y'all got the fake Jesus. Y'all got the counterfeit Jesus. Y'all got the bootleg Jesus. That's who y'all got. You can go to any history book, any encyclopedia. Everything y'all Christians think y'all know about Jesus is made up by men. Easter Sunday, Christmas, Easter sunrise service, Valentine's Day. How many Christians going to be dressed up like witches and warlocks on the 31st of this month? Old and New Testament tell you don't have anything to do with sorcery and replicate that stuff. You want to dress up like a witch, something that the Bible says should be dead? Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You dress up like a witch, though. Dress your little children up like witches. They even got a little devil outfit. You're such a cute little devil. Why would you want to dress your child up as the devil, as a Christian? This is stuff y'all do. And they want to look at me like I'm crazy because I'm telling people this is what Jesus really said. Maybe y'all need to look at yourselves because, you know, y'all a little bit too judgmental for me anyway. That's one of the things that made it easy for me to leave conventional Christianity. Everybody's so dang stuck up and think they better than everybody else. It was easy for me to walk away from that. So judgmental. Oh, you know, so holier than thou. And people don't even know that that holier than thou phrase, Jeff, I know you don't heard it before, like holier than thou. They don't even know that that holier than thou phrase came from the book of Isaiah when it was describing people that were eating swine and thought they were holier than you. Ain't that funny? That verse in its original context was referring to people that eat unclean animals and thought yet that they were holier than you. And the Christians last night in the chat room, in the live stream, eat swine, but they thought they were holier than the Gideon. Ain't it funny how stuff don't change? Boy, woo, but keep reading.
Mark chapter 7, verse 12. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition.
See, Corbin, go ahead, finish up.
Which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye.
And many such like things do you, like with your traditions, you make the word of God of none effect. They had a lot of traditions that made the word of God of none effect. But Jesus is rebuking, he's condemning their tradition, not the law of Moses. He pointed out another law that they had, another tradition, that was called Corban. Corban just means a gift. And they came up with a tradition of the elders that if you proclaim something to be Corban or a gift, that means if it was land, money, anything, it could only be used for the temple. It could only be dedicated to the temple. So what they would do is they would proclaim Corban over things that they were using to take care of their mother and fathers in their elderly age. And they would say, I can't use this money to take care of my mom and dad in their elderly age because I have pronounced it as Corban. And then what was even worse is they didn't even really use it for Corban. They would say that and then turn around and take the money back and keep it for themselves. And thus, they were breaking the commandment, honor your mother and father, because they didn't want to take care of them, and that's not honoring your mother and father. We did a whole class on that. Click on my thumbnail on my replay. Honor thy father and thy mother, the forgotten precept. Went in on that. This is what they were doing. So they came up with a tradition that made honor thy mother and father of none effect. Just like you Christians believe that Jesus came up with a tradition that made thou shalt not eat any unclean animals of none effect. How is that different? But how are they hypocrites, but Jesus not? Even though everywhere else we read, Jesus said he would never do that to the law. So that would make, not only would that make him a hypocrite, they would make him a liar. Because he said the law, you can't do that to the law. Nobody can. That's how I know y'all Christians don't read. Right? But let's move on. We're going to finish the same story off in Matthew to give you the context to show you that when he said whatsoever enter into a man, because you keep reading this, he says that. But he says it in Matthew. The only difference is Matthew has a little more detail in this particular part of the story, and he lets you know it's in the context of the tradition of the elders, not Moses' law. Because watch what he says. Matthew 15, we're going to read 10 and 11, and then we're going to skip. And we only got two more after that. Matthew 15, 10 and 11, and then we're going to skip. Same story. Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this is the
violence of man. And see, that's what I'm going to say. See, Jesus said that which, not that which goes in the mouth defiles a man, you know, makes him unclean, but that which goes out of his mouth makes him unclean. See, if you go to the law of Moses, it said if you eat swine, it's unclean unto you. But now Jesus is saying that, you know, it's not what goes in you that makes you unclean. Wait a minute, we ain't talking about the law of Moses. You see what they do, Jeff? Do everybody see what they're doing? They're reading about the traditions of the elders, and they're applying something that Jesus is talking about, the tradition of the elders, their tradition. And they're jumping over and making it overlap into what Moses said about what you can and can't eat. Do everybody see that's what they're doing? That's what they're doing. And I'm going to show you that Jesus is talking about the tradition of the elders, because watch how he finishes up. Right?
What's going on is he just said in Matthew chapter 5 that he didn't come to destroy the law but fulfill it. But then 10 chapters later, he's contradicting himself.
Exactly. They don't even see that. And he said, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise. Then he said, who else shall break one of the least of these commandments and teach men so? He didn't come to abolish any part of it. He said, not the smallest part. How can y'all Christians not understand that? That means that man is not saying here in Matthew 15 or Mark 7 what you're trying to make him say. If you're trying to make him say that, you make him a liar. You make him a hypocrite. That's what you're doing, right? Now, let's get to the part where they're asking him for understanding about what he said, because he's talking about the tradition of the elders. Skip down and read verses 15 to 20. Read that.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable.
Notice that Peter and the other disciples took this as a parable. Y'all notice that? A parable means what I just said is not to be taken literally. But Christians will read this and think he's talking about literal food going in your mouth. He's trying to show you that there's a spiritual aspect about this that I'm talking about. Because the traditions of the elders taught that if you eat food without washing your hands or the vessel that the food is on, that defiles you spiritually. That makes you a sinner. They weren't, the tradition of the elder wasn't teaching that if you eat food without washing your hands, you just literally dirty, like you got dirty hands. No, they were teaching that spiritually you're unclean. So when Peter said, explain to us this parable, he wants to know, then what does make us spiritually unclean? What makes us sinners as it pertains to this? Watch what he says. Go ahead and read.
And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the ground?
He asked Peter, do you still don't understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goes into the belly, this is what literal food does, and is cast out into the drought? Remember, this is in the context of what the tradition of the elders taught about this stuff. They thought if you physically ate something without washing your hands or the vessel, then that would somehow defile you spiritually. It would make you a sinner, right? But watch what else he says.
Verse 18. For those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man.
But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. This is what makes you defile. In other words, a sinner. You have to understand that the word defile here means sinner, wicked, evil. Because the scribes and Pharisees were teaching people that if you eat anything without washing your hands or the vessel that you're going to put the food on, you're a sinner. You're wicked. You're evil. And watch what he said. Watch the stuff he's described that comes out of the mouth that makes a man defiled. Read.
Verse 19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemy.
See, that's what he means when he says defiled. This is what defiles a man. Wickedness, right? Not eating before, or not eating without washing your hands. And then watch what he takes it back to. Read verse 20.
These are the things which defile the man, but to eat without washing hands defileth not the man.
But to eat unclean animals defileth not a man. Did you say that?
No.
To eat whatever the dietary law of Moses says you can't eat, that defileth not a man. Did he say that?
No, sir.
Notice he said to eat with unwashing hands. He's letting you know that everything that I said up to this point is in contrast to the tradition of the elders. That's why he finished the way he started. If you go to Mark 7 and 1, he started out addressing that it's a tradition of the elders to wash their hands before they eat. My disciples don't follow that. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Our traditions teach that if you don't wash your hands before you eat, or the vessels that the food is on, you are wicked. That's what defile means here, y'all. It means defile in a sinful way. Jesus is saying, no, your tradition is wrong. Eating without unwashed hands does not defile you. That doesn't make you a sinner. All we're talking about is what your traditions teach about food. That's what we're talking about. But a Christian will read this, and it will make it jump over and try to make it seem like Jesus was including the law of Moses when he said it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him. There's no way he could have been doing that for two reasons. Number one, Jesus had already said, like he just said 10 chapters ago in Matthew 5, that the law of Moses is good and not the smallest part of it will ever go away or be overturned. That's number one. Number two, we're not even talking about the law of Moses here. We're talking about the traditions of the elders. So he says, whatever goes into a man does not defile him. That whatever is a qualifier word. It's not all-encompassing. It means whatever according to I'm condemning in the traditions of men. That's what I'm talking about, whatever. So whatever would mean whatever they in their traditions would say would defile you. Not whatever the law of Moses says, whatever their tradition says. That's why Matthew 15 finishes off by saying, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. The context is the whatever goes in you does not defile you. That means whatever they say in their tradition that goes in you will not defile you. Not whatever in general, including the law of Moses. Do everybody understand that? He's condemning their tradition. He's condemning what they said about food, not what Moses said. So they want you to believe he condemns them and calls them hypocrites for their tradition, making them lay aside the law of Moses. And then he turns around and do the same thing. In the same discourse, too, Jeff. It wasn't like he did that, like, weeks later in another, talking to another crowd of people or something. Christians want you to believe that in the same conversation. That's ridiculous. They would immediately call that hypocrisy. Wait a minute, you trying to call us? You just trying to be like us. You just mad because people follow our traditions and not yours. There's no way Jesus is going to condemn people for going against the law of Moses to create a new tradition that makes that particular law no good and then turn around and do it himself. There's no way he would have done that. That would make him a hypocrite. That would mean he was not sinless. That would mean he was not the perfect sacrifice. Without, let's go to the last part. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Because after Jesus said he did not come to destroy the law, he started breaking down traditions and interpretations of the law that the Jews had. And he's giving a better breakdown. It's Matthew chapter 5. See, this is what they do. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Read that.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Now look what he's saying. After he said all that stuff about the law of God still being good, the law of Moses still being good. Now he's going into detail. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Moses said that. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. This ain't talking about judgment like the judgment of like the Israelite judge. Because they have judges that, you know, if you did that, you had to be killed too. Right? He said you shall be in danger of the judgment. Watch how he's breaking down this law. He's not getting rid of the thou shalt not kill law. He's just giving it a deeper meaning. Because he said, they said of old time. Right? Read verse 22.
But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
He said, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. The council was the Sanhedrin. A lot of Christians don't even know what the Sanhedrin was, right? Then he says, and whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raca, that means fool also, shall be in danger of the council. Because if you said that, you could be in danger of the council. Just call somebody a fool. But then he says, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, in a mocking, condemning way, remember we did a whole class on this, shall be in danger of hellfire. So what he's doing here is he's elevating and breaking down the law. Also, he's also circumventing the traditional interpretations of these laws as well. That's what he's doing. That's why after he told you that the law is still good, now he's giving details about how these things were traditionally understood. That's what he's talking about. But he's not getting rid of anything. He's not changing anything. He's just giving you a deeper understanding on it. Right? Okay, skip down and read 27 and 28.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yes, Moses said that, and everybody who followed, that's the them. Moses and the them is like the prophet. Right? You shall not commit adultery. Right? But watch what he says.
Verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
But does that mean that literal adultery is no longer valid, Jeff?
No, sir.
See, that's how the Christians be trying to make this mean. You know, if you just look on her, you don't commit adultery. Yeah, but that still don't take away from the fact that if I literally commit adultery, I'm still wrong.
That's right.
He's just giving you a deeper spiritual meaning. He's not changing anything. Elevating something is not a change per se. It's just giving you a deeper meaning of it. And that meaning was already there. I can show you in another lesson that Jesus is not the first person that said just looking on the woman is like that. That's in the Old Testament and the Apocrypha. And Christians seem to think that if you understand the spiritual meaning behind the law, that does away with you having to physically keep the law. I did a whole class on that. See, we ain't got to keep the law. See, y'all trying to keep the law according to the letter. We trying to keep it according to the spirit. What does it mean to keep it according to the spirit? That means it's done away with. No, it doesn't. It means that you don't commit adultery physically and you don't do it in your heart either. That's what it means to serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. They think oldness of letter means as long as you, if you just physically do it, you in trouble. No. Serving them in newness of spirit means you not only try to physically commit adultery, you try not to spiritually do it either. Right? Read the next part. Oh, I'm sorry. That was 27, 28. Let's get down to reading 33 to 39.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it has been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath.
In other words, of old time it states, this is what the law states, you shall not forswear yourself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath, meaning you shall not make an oath that you don't carry out. You don't make a vow that you don't keep, right? Watch what he says.
Verse 34, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne.
Is he going against the law? No, because there is no law that says you had to make a vow. That law just tells you what happens if you do make a vow. He's telling you the best way to avoid even getting in trouble with a vow is to not make one at all. There's no law that says you have to make a vow. Vows are voluntary. That's what they are. They're voluntary. He's telling you, I'm telling you, don't even make a vow. He's not going against that law. He's not changing it. He's just trying to make sure that law doesn't get you in trouble. But go ahead and read.
Verse 35. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king.
But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Neither by earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Go ahead.
Neither shall thou swear by him, because thou canst not make one hair white or black.
And if you notice, all of these things that he's saying that he's telling you not to do anymore is what the elders were passing down to them, telling them to do when they were interpreting these laws. If y'all can't understand what's going on here, what's happening here is Jesus is expounding on the laws of Moses. Just like the Pharisees expounded on the law of Moses. Everybody has exposition on the law. He's giving you superior exposition to what the Pharisees did. Their exposition created tradition that broke the law of Moses. Notice that all of Jesus' exposition created the law of Christ that made sure you didn't break the law of Moses. Do y'all see the difference? You see the difference there? Notice after he tells you that the law is still good and will be good forever, now he's breaking down the law in a way to make sure that you, that's why everything he's doing, if you look at everything he's saying, is to make sure that you don't get in trouble with God.
Right.
Don't commit adultery. If you don't even look at the woman, she won't even be in your heart for you to even go out and do the adultery in the first place, trying to get you out of trouble. The Pharisees, You know, make sure you perform your vows, yada, yada, yada. You know what I'm saying? You know, keep with that. Jesus comes on the scene, hey, don't even make a vow at all. If you don't make a vow, break a vow. Trying to get you out of trouble. Did y'all see that? Can everybody see that? That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sure you don't break the law of Moses. He's making it easier for you to avoid breaking the law of Moses. That's what he's doing. He's giving you, you know, instruction. But go ahead and read.
Verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatever is more than peace cometh of evil.
So let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh evil. Meaning you ain't got to be like, I swear. Like, did you do this? I swear I didn't do it. No, just say yes or no. Start getting into swearing and oath a lot, you can end up getting in trouble. So like I said, anything more than that is come of evil. Read verse 38.
Verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, and for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
He said, you have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I be hearing Christians quote this one a lot, Jeff. And they don't really understand what they mean. They think eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is just like, you know, it's a way of just talking about revenge, right? That's why they try to make this be like, oh, he's talking about don't be vengeful. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is not talking about being vengeful. It's not talking about that. He's going to tell you what it means. Go ahead and read.
Verse 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
Now, this is how Martin Luther King and our civil rights leaders interpret this to mean that if somebody physically tries to hurt you, right, turn the other cheek and let them hit that other cheek too. That is not what he's talking about. He's quoting from a law that says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In the law, if somebody broke your tooth, you would take him to the judges and say, he broke my tooth, right? I want restitution for my tooth. And the law said that if he broke your tooth or took out your eye, he would lose a tooth or he would lose an eye, right? What Jesus is saying right here, he's not teaching revenge. He's teaching mercy. He's saying that, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, he's using that law to talk about mercy, like if somebody do something wrong to you, be willing to let it go. Be willing to put up with more. You know, that's what he's saying. Don't be so quick. Somebody do something to you, oh, I'm going to go take them to the law or try to get back at them so I can make the same thing happen to them. That's why he said, but I say unto you, he's down here. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. When he say resist not evil, that means do not make use of force against an evil man. Don't try to get back at him, right? And I'm going to show you that that's the context of what he's talking about. Read verse 39. Verse 40.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have that cloak also.
He said, if any man will sue you at the law and take your cloak, let him have on your coat, let him have your cloak also. So the context of what he's trying to teach is if somebody does something to you, right, be willing to overlook it and go further with it. Have some mercy. That's why he said, let me have your cloak too. Watch what he says in verse 41 to prove to you that it's what he's talking about. Go ahead.
And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain.
And whoever compel you to go a mile, go with him too. What this means is going beyond your limit. Having patience. This is not talking about the eye for an eye or two for two law is no good anymore. This is not saying that if somebody sues you at the law, don't obey the law and give them what they want. He said, shoot, give them more. Right? He said, if somebody compel you to go a mile, go with them too. All this is talking about is being merciful to people and being patient with people. This ain't talking about standing there and just let somebody pick you up, y'all. Got a whole lesson on that. But the point is, I'm showing you the exposition that he gives on the law. In this whole chapter, he's showing the stuff that they gave as exposition and traditional interpretation are wrong or inferior. He's giving you better exposition on God's law. He's not doing away with any of it. He's giving you better instructions on how to not break it. He's giving you better instructions on how to be merciful. He's giving you better instructions on how to love your neighbor. All this stuff you're reading about here, about the eye for an eye and the two for a two stuff, that's about loving your neighbor. So, sisters and brothers, we have shown you that Jesus condemned the traditions of men, not the law of Moses. And if any Christian ever tries to tell you that Jesus condemned the law of Moses, and they take you to the traditions of men, simply tell them, you do not know the difference between the two, and if you're not willing to let me show you the difference between the two, this conversation is done. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, y'all. Y'all know we started about 45 minutes late, and that's why we went all the way to 8:44. It don't need to be like this. But let me thank everybody for coming out today. I have no idea how many people are in this room, because for whatever reason, Clubhouse don't want you to know how many people is in your room anymore. Right, that's an update, though, right? Right? But first of all, we'd like to thank everybody for coming out. We usually go on our own Blog Talk and open up the Clubhouse room at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some inspirational gospel music for y'all for about 30 minutes, and the actual class starts at about, as of now, I still ain't got the online store back up and running. When I do, I'll let everybody know, right? But if anybody is interested in making a donation, if you just feel blessed by what you're hearing and would like to support us, you can do so one of two ways. The first way is through PayPal. All this information is on my thumbnail, using the email address, which is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's Absolute Bible Truth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word 4. You just simply type the numerical digit 4. The other way you can donate, of course, is through Cash App using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM. Again, that's $ABTM, lowercase s. And if anybody's wondering, that simply stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we're bringing on Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity, and he's going to give you a brief summary of what we learned today, as well as any announcements he may have. Ariel, are you there, sir?
Shalom,
can you
hear me?
You're loud and clear on my end.
Awesome. All praise to the Most High.